my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I am one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, it is your pick, and you thought, you know what? I'm going to pick a fucking horror movie just to get back at Chris. So we're going back to 2001, Dave, and this one is Jeepers Creepers. So, Dave, I know we talked a bit about it last week, but do you remember obviously going to the cinema, or where did you watch it first of all?
Chris, I remember this one vividly, right? Because it had a haunting impact on me. Now, I know I say, you know, I've never really liked horror movies. And then I find, you know, as we dig through our memory archives, it's like, oh, yeah, I remember watching this as a kid. You know, like your Nightmare on Elm Street, your Friday the 13th, your Hellraisers, stuff like that. Oh, shit, yeah, I did watch a lot. Never enjoyed them. Always would shit me up for weeks after and would repeat on me, whether I was walking up into the my nan's creepy fucking third floor bathroom or, you know, laying awake at night, not able to sleep because I thought I'd get attacked by a shark or something. But you still watch him and stuff. Now, went to the cinema to watch this one. Didn't really know a lot about it. And I just, straight from the off, and I don't want to get too much into the movie because we'll talk about that, but I'll say this bit at the start. Even when the big truck is right behind him in the car, the sound in the cinema was borderline deafening. And it just, so it shits you up right from the start. And then, so the tension is ramped up to 11. And, you know, at the point when he's going down into the pit and stuff, I'm just like, oh, fuck off. You know, and then you get the different jump scares here and there and stuff. I remember just looking around. It was a really dark cinema. You know, the last few years when I've been to the cinema, I don't know if it's just the ones I'm going to, but you always see quite a bit of light, I find. Even when the lights go down, you've got big fucking exit signs blaring, you know, at the side of the cinema. Yeah. Whereas this was really super dark. And I remember just looking around, like, you know, checking my surroundings, if I had to leg it. it's totally irrational, isn't it? But just having this crippling fear and thinking, fuck this. I fucking hate horror movies. I've decided I'm not going to watch them anymore. That's it. I'm fucking done with horror movies. Now, that was in the first half, Chris. Now, in the second half, I feel like, you know, once you see the shark, it becomes a little bit less scary. And I felt like it was like this with this one. So I kind of calmed down after a while. But that first act, I just found so fucking terrifying in the cinema. And yeah, for a few years, I went on a hiatus then. I wasn't watching any horror movies, probably for at least 3 years, I would say, after that. How about yourself?
Wow, so that's had a proper effect on you, Dave. I know I'm an absolute shithouse. I know that, but wow. So, well, I'd say that I've said to you in the past that Freddy Krueger was the one that absolutely just got me, because I said my friend used to watch it. Fucking hell, it was so scary for me. So I get it. I get it. When these things like stick with you, you're sort of like, nope, that's me out. And that's probably where that comes from, a horror thing. But I have seen this before. I said it last week. Me and Sam rented this on video. It was one of the ones where she's like, we're watching this. I don't care whether you can hide behind a pillar, you hide behind the fucking sofa, or you don't even watch it. You know, like you can just close your eyes while I watch it. We're watching it. And I have seen it once before. And at the time, you know, I remembering back, I actually quite enjoyed it. Different sort of character. Yeah, it's a horror movie, but different style of like horror for me. You know, jump scares and I think that's probably why I could sit through it and not be so much of a coward. But no, it always had like a bit of a name. And I think I've seen some of the sequels as well over the years, Dave. I know there's been a remake which I mentioned last week. But yeah, this was always one of them characters, but I never knew his name, and now I realise he's actually called the Creeper, so which makes sense, yeah. You know, Jeepers Creepers. So no, when you picked it, and I think you were hoping that I'd be like, fuck off, there. I was a bit like, oh no. I did send you a video yesterday when I watched it, and you were like, you big fucking mad, you know, you better watch it. And I went, well, I'm sat here in the day watching it with the surround on, but I've got the cat and the dog protecting me right next to me. They were both sat next to me, weren't they? So it's still there in me, Dave. And Samantha wasn't with me. It wasn't dark, which would have made it, then I would have jumped watching it. So no, I really was looking forward to watching this one, because with it being a horror franchise that started when we were like, it wasn't like a Freddy or one of the ones, you know, like Halloween or, you know, and all that sort of thing, Friday the 13th, it was something that came and it had quite a good sort of run, didn't it? It was after Scream, but it was not at the level of Scream, but it was one that you knew straight away. And I always remember the character thinking, wow, they got that really right. I thought the Creeper just looks fucking horrible.
You know, I think my actual words, Chris, were something like, make sure you draw the curtains and get the surround sound on, you big pussy.
Big pussy, yeah. Did, yeah.
But then when I sent it, I thought, maybe he thinks it's a different sort of movie if I'm telling him to draw the curtains.
Fuck off. Everyone's digging me out about my shoulder injuries, Dave, which I can't say. Really? My shoulder's actually getting better, touch wood, I must admit. So maybe I'm not as active as I once was, you know.
Sage, you know. So no, it's funny, isn't it, though, the Creeper, I mean, he doesn't quite have the sticking power of a Freddy Krueger or, you know, a Jason or something like that, you know. Especially, obviously, one of the reasons we're doing this, not just shit you up, Chris, but this is our Halloween episode, essentially.
Yes.
And, you know, for the cosplay and stuff, people dressing up, the Creeper never really features. Or, I mean, I'm sure he does somewhere. People cosplay everything. But, you know, the reoccurring characters, those proper legends, tend to be more the kind of 70s and 80s characters. The exception, I would say, being Scream. So Ghostface, you know, you see him sort of costumed up various times. So, yeah, I kind of feel like the Creeper should be a bit more of a legend than he is.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think for certain people at like a Comic Con or anything, they're straight away into horror, you'd be like, oh, that's brilliant, because you don't see that. You always see Freddy, don't you? Mike Myers, Jason, you always see them characters. Scream, obviously, you know, Ghostface. You always see these ones that are legendary. Even Pinhead, I've seen. I've only been to a few, but I have seen them. So yeah, I get it. I think you're right. He's daunting. It's the jacket as well. So he's got the whole like outfit, and he's just, he's posing. But I have got something, Dave. You talk about cosplay. Now, this is a segue. I've got a fancy dress, Dave. Now, I don't do fancy dress. I haven't done one for ages. But they've got a fancy dress for someone's 40th, in November, just before my birthday. So, you know what me and Sam are going as, Dave? Now, you know I can't fucking dance at the best of time, and I have been practicing, and it's a magic movie. Well, I don't know, Dave. I'm on my way to Magic Mike. I haven't got the fucking 10-inch cock, though. I'll have to wear a fucking something down there. There'll have to be an aubergine down there or something. I've definitely not got that, even from the best angles. But no, I'm actually going, Dave, as me and Sam will be dancing to a Chuck Berry song in a movie that we covered quite recently. So I've bought the wig. I've got the fake cigarettes. I've even got the cowboy tie that he wears. And I'm going as Dave, Vincent Vega. Now, I've got to say, Dave, nice. I put the wig on. In fact, I'm going to send you the picture right now. I actually look more like my mum, who dyes her hair black. I said, I'm supposed to look like John Travolta, and I look like my fucking mother. So let me send you this, right?
You're going to look like one of those blokes, because I'm guessing you're not going to do your eyebrows.
Oh, no, you're doing it all.
You're going to do it all. You're going to look like one of those old blokes, though, who basically fucking gets the old Grecian 2000 on.
Yep,
and he's got jet black hair.
Have a look. I've sent you a WhatsApp. I look like some fucking hobo on the street you'd see. Oh, I haven't got the suit on. I'll do it properly, because we're going to do makeup and everything. Sam's going as Mia Wallace as well. She's got the wig and she's got the pants and everything. So we've got to try and do the dance, I think. We'll try and put it on.
What the fuck is
exactly
that?
I was going to send it the other day.
Something on fucking Shameless.
We're going to have to put that on. But when this comes out, I'll have to put that on fucking Discord and on Twitter. It looks fucking horrendous, doesn't it? That's a rock and roll legend.
I am lost for words.
Yeah, well, wait till I do my transformation. Tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be Vincent Vega. There you go, Dave.
The fact that it doesn't cover your sideburns, so it just looks
great.
Like a bandana.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan. I've got a do-rag on a Hulk Hogan style. But my mum dyes her hair black, even though she's like mid-60s. And I said to Sam, I went, fuck me, I look like my fucking mum. I don't look like John Travolta, some sex symbol, do I? Not a bellend, so... I mean, he doesn't have his hair back like that. He has it down, doesn't he, at the sides, really, in the movie. So I'll try and think of it. He does not look like fucking John Travolta at all.
Did you get it from Wish?
Yeah, it's an eBay special. Hey, I got the fake cigarettes and the cowboy lapel tie thing.
The cowboy lapel thing does look good.
Yeah,
that and it's the one thing.
That's the only thing. £15 that cost me. But I've got a suit. I've got a black suit, so I'm cheating, really. Black suit, white tie, and I've got I want some cowboy boots, but she's like, you're not fucking wearing cowboy. I'm like, I am wearing cowboy boots. He don't wear them in the movie. He's got slip-ons on, like hush puppies on, but, you know, just to go for the full effect, Dave. Fucking brilliant. Well, I don't know if it's awesome. Brilliant, but I had to send you that anyway. So, Dave, come on.
Very good.
Shall we get into the trailer?
Let's go.
I haven't seen a car in 50 miles.
You know what I just thought of, right?
Kenny and Darla.
You believe that story?
That they had to go looking for her head?
They only found the car.
They never found her head.
What's he doing?
The hell is that? He dumped something down that pipe.
Wrapped in a sheet. Is this your idea of a little adventure?
I'm just gonna look.
Hello?
You know the part in scary movies where somebody does something really stupid and everybody hates them for it? This is it.
Every 23rd spring, for 23 days, it gets to eat.
Eat.
What the hell is that thing?
Go, 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 go!
It's stuck in reverse!
It must have 500, maybe 600 bodies down there.
You've got something it likes, one of you.
Jeepers Creepers.
Trish Jenner and her brother Darry are traveling home from college for spring break. As they drive through the Florida countryside, an old truck threateningly tailgates them, but eventually passes. They later stumble on the same truck mysteriously parked next to an abandoned church, with the driver dumping what appears to be bodies wrapped in blood-stained sheets into a large pipe sticking out of the ground. Having noticed their car pass by, the driver pursues and runs them off the road. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Well, Dale, and I'm sure you've read this, it is loosely, the start's based on a true story as well. So I found that really interesting. Dennis DePue had done something similar with his wife. Well, that's the only bit that was based on a true story, you know, when he was dumping the bodies and stuff.
Yeah,
but anyway.
So it was shown on Unsolved Mysteries, I think. And did you ever used to watch those, Chris?
Yes, yes.
I used to think those were fantastic. It was in the days, right? So I had a skybox. This was when I was in Wilmslow.
Yep.
So we had a dish, but then we had one of those FreeSat cards. So yep. I didn't want to pay for Sky and Sky Movies, like £50 a month or whatever, what it was at the time. But you got loads of these free channels, which just showed endless shit.
Yeah, I used to watch them.
Yeah, and so Unsolved Mysteries was one of those that I'd often gravitate to, and it was like, oh yeah, it was just really, really watchable. So yeah, it was an interesting callback, that one.
Well, and you know the presenter, David, this is a Chris Phelps piece of useless trivia. Dennis Farina was actually a guy who played Elliot Ness in the original Untouchables stuff from like the 60s before Kevin Costner. I don't know how I know that, but there you go. What about Cops, Dave?
I watched it later. So after him, there was a guy called Jonathan Frakes, who was number two in Star Trek The Next Generation. So I watched it when he was doing it.
I know you mean the guy. I know you mean. Yes, I know that guy. I used to watch him myself. Yes.
He's on so many different memes and stuff, isn't he? He's still repeated over and over. So, even if you didn't watch the show, I'm sure you'd recognize him nowadays.
Oh, God, you know what's so mad? That a callback to the old Sky days. Friday night, we talk about Tutti Frutti, but in our house, Tutti Frutti was a bit later on, which is still weird that all of us as kids are watching all these people getting their threatening bits out. But we used to watch Cops, the old, you know, Bad Boys. And that was, I still love that, you know, because it was I've never seen anything like it on UK TV. And they were kicking down fucking doors, they were arresting people. They blur the fucking faces out unless they've been convicted. And then you were like, oh, you're definitely getting sent down. But if they weren't like under arrest, but I used to love that show. Oh, it was proper fucking violent.
The thing is, we literally, there was no digital kind of freeview as we have now. So, like in America, they've had loads of channels for years, haven't they? But at that time, you still had five terrestrial channels, and Channel 5 was not that great. Unless it was late night on a Friday.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Having that, all those crappy channels that just showed reruns of stuff like Unsolved Mysteries were fantastic. Food Network was another one. I remember watching that quite a bit, and I'd never cook anything, but it was just something good to watch. But interesting callback.
Dave, I try and find anything where there was a bit of fucking cleavage in the daytime. So don't you worry, I'd probably watch the Food Network or anything. Yeah. It don't matter. Anything to get me going.
It might have been one of those channels that like changed to something else about 9 o'clock.
You know what you were saying about me watching horror movies and hating them? I remember you used to watch The Word and Euro Trash. And I used to share a room with my brothers, don't forget, two of my brothers, because there's nine of us, isn't there? So at the time, there was only five or six of us. Well, only, but they would. So when I was like, you know, in my 12, 13 years old, and I remember, I remember used to fucking like turn over the horror movie. You know, I hate them because I think there's going to be a scantily clad woman in a minute. And as long as my brothers were facing the wall, Dave, I definitely would try and full of crafty danger one count. That's bad.
That's horrendous. I hope none of your family listen to this.
No, they don't, Dave. It's fine. They hate me. It's fine. No, they don't. They don't listen to it. But anyway, carry on. Jeepers Creepers, Dave. Let's just fucking carry on with the film.
So, yeah, I mentioned it before, Chris, though. Like, very early on, I think the way the tension is built up, it's quite brilliant. In fact, I would say, right, the first act of this movie is brilliant.
Yeah.
I genuinely think that. So the way they're just talking, you know, talking about these urban myths, you know, these people who were never found or whatever, or the head was never found. And the way the camera shot, you know, is looking head on. And you can see in the background, like, you've got this... is it Winnebago they call it? Like, veers off the road. They're like, the fuck's going on there? And then you get this fucking, this monstrous truck, you know, this old fucking scary ass truck just coming behind, and you can see it getting closer and closer. And like I say, I remember that moment when he fucking pounds the horn, and it's like, shit. And like I say, I think these actors are fucking brilliant at portraying fear. So Gina Phillips and Justin Long are the brother and sister. And apparently they made them, you know, they wrote them as brother and sister. So it just eliminates any kind of sexual tension or anything. You know, it didn't want to fall into that kind of trope. So Trish and Darry are just fucking shitting themselves. And, you know, you can see, like, just fucking pass me. But he doesn't want to pass him. And, I thought straight off the bat, you know, that gave you that first kind of, I wouldn't say, it wasn't like a jump scare as such, even though I did jump when the horn goes off. But it's more the anxiety, isn't it? You know, just feeling that you're there with them. And yeah, when it eventually passes, you know, you feel that relief. But then you're thinking, oh, fucking hell, we're going to be in for a ride here. But yeah, I thought these actors, I thought Gina Phillips and Justin Long did great in this movie. Interestingly, Chris, you know, you're saying about Taggart, you know, yeah, fucking Beverly Hills Cop, just and all these different actors who are ridiculously younger than how they look. Gina Phillips, right? Born in 1970. In 2001, she'd have been 31.
Bloody hell. She looks young.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? So she'd have been 8 years younger than Taggart.
My God. She looks like 20-odd, doesn't she, in this?
She does. I mean,
cast her very well.
Yeah, I think so. She just does look like, you know, probably the older sister, but not by much, you know. So
yeah, he's just same age as me.
Yeah, Justin. Just a bit surprised by that. But yeah, Chris, though, when they get... I start getting frustrated. I don't know about you, but I start getting frustrated with people in horror movies because they're driving past, they see this truck, you know, and you're going to be wary, aren't you? Because he was driving like a dick. And, you know, you see him and then they slow down. Slow right down. Then they see these blood-stained sheets, which obviously have bodies in. He's chucking them down the pipe, and they're having a good old fucking gawp at him until he fucking sees them. And I'm like, oh, you pair of bastards. Just fucking, honestly, as soon as I'd have seen that truck parked up, I'd have put my foot down. I'd have been off there. I mean, how did you feel that whole scene evolved and, you know, how our characters' actions went?
Well, David, let's pull up a chair because I've not done this for a while. But I thought this movie was fucking bobbins. I'm going to throw it out there. It is absolutely nonsense, right? I've not gone full on Chris Phelps heel. I agree. The tension at the start is brilliant. When they go past that couple in the Winnebago and they're looking at them and the registration and they're having a chat, aren't they? And we all do that. We all have a chat when you're driving and all of a sudden you've got someone up your arse. I know in America it's different than what got in the UK, but you've got these like miles and miles of just open road, haven't you, where you just won't see anybody. And I love that tension. I agree. I think it's so well done. Absolutely so well done, honestly. But the minute these two pair of fucking bellends go, oh, let's go and find out, Scooby-Doo, what's going on over there? What a pair of knobheads. What I don't get is when someone's up my arse like that, if someone was going to take me off the road and they go past me like that, and they see, and you're right, the tension's brilliant. It's so good, Dave, and it reminds me, I'm going to pick for my next pick one of the movies I said a few weeks ago because it's got that tension with the vehicle, you know, that like...
I think, I know.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to pick it because it's a brilliant film, and that's what got me going on. And there's some really good tension bits, but these are just two young kids, right? College kids, allegedly. You know, she's the older sister. She's got this car. That truck goes past them, right? And when it eventually gets past them and he shouts something like, you know, whatever, fucking hippies or something, then they just completely forget about it. Now, if someone's nearly wanted to kill me off the road, the first thing I'm going to think is, I think we need to go another way here. I know it might be 100 miles back to the next town or whatever, but I'm turning round because this guy could be in front of us in the middle of the road wanting to fucking take, he could be at the side wanting to take us off. They completely forget about it. And you're right. And this is what I agree, you've hit the nail on the head. What got me about the movie is the frustration levels of he dumps that body and they go slow. Well, he's already nearly killed you both. So you put your foot down until you've got no fuel left in that vehicle. Yeah. As fast as you can go. I don't care who you are. But oh no, fucking Shaggy and fucking Thelma there go, oh, let's go and investigate. And she fucking, then he comes after them. They go into a field. So this guy's nearly killed him twice. And straight away, they're just chatting about like he's dirty washing in the vehicle. They're not thinking this guy could come round, who's come back, who's just dumped a dead body. No, I tell you what, let's go back and have a look what he's actually done. Oh, Dave, honestly, I was so fucking frustrated. I think you are correct. The tension and everything's brilliant. But when fucking Darry decides to go down the fucking shaft and he's there and this girl who's about 7 stone piss wet through is holding his shoes and then the rats make him slide down into this tunnel, I was just like, oh, fuck off. Absolute bullshit. I know I just said it, but you did. It frustrated me watching it. There's no bits in this movie scare me. If that car scene had carried on and he kept popping up, that would have got me because there was some really good tension. I think the start of the movie is excellent. The first 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes, it sets it up so well. But these two pair of bellends, in the end, I was like, you know what? I hope you both get fucking killed because you both deserve it, you in fucking inquisitive pair of bellends. Absolute two of the worst. I agree with the acting. The acting is not bad at all because it's mainly them two in it through the whole film. So to carry a movie like this and have the creeper there, and the music, the Jeepers Creepers is brilliant. But fuck me, was I frustrated watching this, Dave. It's so annoying. I've just found it so annoying watching it. And it's only 90 minutes. It's the perfect movie for a horror movie. But fucking hell. I just kept thinking, I don't want to shit on this because of Dave. I know he likes it, but I'm like, I can't. I was so annoyed watching it. I was watching the clock going, just fucking finish. You two, every time they could have got away, they're like, I tell you what, let's just go and have another look. No. Just go home and fuck off and don't never talk about it again and have some fucking PTSD counselling, you pair of dicks. Honestly, oh, it annoyed me so much.
What I love about it is the passion. Like, if you didn't care, if it was just boring.
Yeah, know, it wasn't boring. He's not boring.
No. Go off on this massive rant. But, no, I agree. I think the actors' performances, the cinematography, or the way it looks, I think is really great. Especially, like, say, the first act. Logic, you kind of have to park a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you say, the first time you nearly fucking rammed off the road, you probably do just spin the car around. Let's fuck off the other way because we don't know. Is he going to pull over at a service station? Then I'll end up in the same fucking spot again. Yeah, you're making different choices. But I thought it would piss you off when it got to the point when they get rammed off the road. And again, the scene went on for a while and I thought the tension was brilliant. But when they're there and Darry's like, yeah, we should check if they're still alive.
No. It's just <Stop. laughs>
that's what I was thinking. But then I thought, this is ridiculous now. Come on. I know you're in a horror movie, but fucking hell, you know, just have a little bit of logic about you. But then I thought he pulled a masterstroke. He said, what if it was you? Because the Trish is the voice of reason, but she often capitulates and goes with what Darry wants to do, which is the stupid fucking ass decision to you know, go into danger. But I thought that was a masterstroke. It was like, you know, what if they were alive? And then I don't know, maybe he thinks he's a fucking doctor. Because I was thinking, well, what next then? He's alive. Fucking brilliant. The guy, you know, the guy was alive. Didn't do you much fucking good, did it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's bollocks, don't it? Because I do love when they go into the diner. So when he gets away, Darry, for me, what would have been good as a horror movie, like watching it, was when she's looking down on the tunnel, she'd have got grabbed by the creeper. You know, he's down there helpless. He's injured, isn't he? He's looking. And then if the water hits him and he's like, well, it's the like the sweat or whatever it is of the bodies or whatever it is, the dew in the and then he sees all them bodies and he finds that couple who 23 years earlier had gone missing, the prom couple and all that, sees the ring and all that. But he gets out and she's sort of there and I'm thinking, you know, what's going on? And then when she comes up, she sees an old army van, which she thinks is the creepers, and she can't get it in gear. I mean, very clever what they've done in the movie, because they haven't picked an automatic. They've actually picked, as they call it, a fucking, you know, it's stick. A manual, stick, four on the stick sort of thing. Whereas a lot of Americans can't even drive fucking manual cars.
Well, so, Trish can't either.
Well, no, Trish can't. Fuck me. That definitely needs a new gearbox, that car. Jesus Christ. But there's a few bits, and then when Darry runs to the window, that did sort of get me a little bit, you know, the jump. And I thought he was dead or something. I thought the creeper, I forgot the movie, you see. There was bits of it I forgot. But when they go in the diner The bit that gets me, and it is a good bit, is when the phone rings, but everyone's in the diner. Now, it's not Marty McFly, Dave, you know, like, or Light Preserve, you know, looking for Doc Brown. And then I'm thinking, are all these guys into it? They don't believe them. And then she comes on the phone and the song comes on. And that's very clever. It is. There is some really good creepy bits. Yeah, creepy. There is some good bits in it. But when they go to the fucking police station, and the police are just wankers with them, aren't they? They're horrible to them. They don't really believe them. And then they do this escort. Now, that is a fantastic bit of horror. So them two are arguing, Darry and not arguing badly, but they're having a bit of a disagreement. They're chatting about everything. While the police, who are supposed to be saving them, are getting their heads decapitated. That is really good horror. He's on the roof of the police car. But no, Trish goes, oh, excuse me. As he's killed two coppers, they've nearly killed them. She gets out of the fucking car. You know, they've had a fucking the policeman's dead fucking body's head has flew on the bonnet of the car. So she thinks, oh, I wonder who's driving the police car now. No, get the fuck out of there, you stupid woman. Get the fuck out of there. Honestly, the frustration levels. And then, I mean, I read that the budget got fucking slashed in the final third. I think it got slashed after about the first 20 minutes because there were so many good bits. Even me watching it was like, in the diner, it would have been brilliant if the creeper had come in and just fucking decimated somebody, you know, like, or done something. There was bits there where I was really thinking there is some really, really good bits that they've missed here. And that, not a budget thing. It's just storytelling in my eyes would have made the film better. But Trish turns into fucking John Connor then, doesn't she? She thinks, oh, fuck it, I can take anybody on, and just goes full on John Rambo after this. I mean,
Sarah Connor. Come on.
Oh, yeah, Sarah Connor. Sorry, not John Connor. Sarah Connor. Sorry, you're right. Sarah Connor, I apologise. But there's some great bits, and that bit is fantastic when they get killed, the cops, when the police woman looks out the window and there's a massive fucking boot on the screen. That's all you see. And he just grabs her and then he kills the cop and does his head. Oh, Dave, honestly, I said I hated it, but I think I hated it because I was fucking frustrated because I think in here, there could have been one of the greatest horror movies ever. And I just think halfway through or 20 minutes in, they just dropped the ball for me and it just becomes so ridiculous. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I can't believe, though, you didn't call out the fact that, you know, they've been driving along this road, hardly seeing anyone for miles. Yep. And then they go into the diner and it is fucking rammed full of people. That, yeah. As if it was like the middle of New York on a Friday night or something.
Ali met Sally, hammered, yeah.
So that bit, I thought, oh, Chris is going to fucking rip into that. And the fact that there's like about 30 police in the station in this tiny little town. But, you know, sometimes the ratios of people were a little bit off. But what I like about the creeper, though, is the way they reveal him in small pieces. Because when he's just a bloke, it seems like he's just a bloke, isn't he? You know, this murderous, creepy bloke who's throwing these dead bodies down a pipe. He could just be a man at that point. And when they get to the diner, it's almost like you breathe a sigh of relief. It's like, oh, you know, you've got in a safe space. You know, we're with other people. You know, we're kind of safe now. And then same when they're getting the police escort, you think, well, you know, we're safe. No one's going to attack us while the police are here. Certainly not some random bloke. But then he's there, fucking stood on the roof of the police car, and you start to see, okay, he's clearly not just a bloke. He's something more than that. And, you know, Mike Myers level strength, you know, and you're like, oh, shit. And the way he decapitates that bloke is fucking, again, for me, I'd forgotten that bit, just completely unexpected. And to defend Trish a bit, and I do feel a bit of your frustration as well. It's like, she didn't necessarily see that it was a decapitated head that went on the bonnet. She's driving along and then just there's a collision, you know, something happened there. So I think that's why she stopped. But given the day's previous events, I think I'd have still put my foot down. I don't give a shit what that was. I'm just carrying on. But when she's messing about with the gear stick and stuff, because you get into this weird situation where you start to see more of the creeper, don't you?
Yes.
And for me, that's when the movie kind of loses a bit of its magic. You know, again, I'll go back to that original Jaws, the fact that you can't see the shark, it builds that tension and that fear of the unknown. When you start to see him, all right, he's a scary looking bloke, but he kind of reminds me of Buffy the Vampire Slayer or something. I mean, he's done up okay, I guess, in terms of makeup and that, but I don't know, he just lost some of that magic for me. But then she's kind of trying to drive him over, and you get this weird fucking thing where he's jumping over the car. Like, she tries to get him like two or three times, and he keeps just jumping over it. And again, I just felt like that just got a bit silly. You know, I could have done without that bit. But eventually, she kind of manages to take him out. And then, you know, here's where the common sense does come into it, I guess. Or common sense, or realism. When she eventually hits him, you know, she doesn't just think, oh, that's it now, and drives off. Nope, she drives over him a few more times as well, for good measure. And again, you're kind of thinking, well, we're only about halfway through the movie here. This can't surely be it. Bit of a crap way to kill off the main antagonist. But then, you know, you see this wing pop up, and then it's like, fucking hell, you know. And again, so they're just layering on these pieces to the creeper. They haven't revealed everything about him straight off the bat. And it's getting weirder and weirder as it goes on. So, yeah, those are the things I kind of like about how they're revealed there, despite, like I say, some of the nonsense about, you know, the amount of people in the diner, the jumpy over. So it's almost like a game, you know, when he was jumping over the car. That was the bit that really I didn't like.
Yeah, and I read as well that apparently when he wears the contacts, that Jonathan Breck, who played the creep, he couldn't actually see. It blinded him. Right, so I think he looks good, his eyes, you know, like the way they've done that. But you're right, that was like a bit of a... That was almost like a Freddy Krueger type scene, you know, when he's trying to put a bit of comedy in it or a little bit of character. And I think you're right. This is what annoyed me about her, though, as well. It's like, you know, so before this scene, obviously you've got the cat things, haven't you? So apparently the cats were actually smeared. The mesh was smeared with tuna. That's why all the cats were up meowing and stuff. So it's a good scene, that. Because old woman's there. But I'm thinking, is that his mum? Is that the woman who's rang him? Oh, no. She goes fucking Sarah Connor then, pulls out a shotgun, Dave. This fucking bazooka-like shotgun that's got fucking explosive attached to it. Blows up the scarecrow. And that's when it all escalates from there. So, like I say, there's some really good bits in this movie, but it's just let down by how stupid the brother and sister are, because it's just like, get the fuck out. You don't need to be in this town. Get the fuck out of there. And every time you think we're getting away, they don't. I mean, ultimately, we do almost get a homage to Terminator, because they're back in the police station, aren't we? Yeah. The woman comes about the, you know, Jeepers Creepers thing. She's chatting away and he doesn't kill her, which is interesting, which is weird because he's been a non... he's had no emotion, the creeper, at all, has he? He's just been this entity that's killing everyone. But as soon as that woman's there, he goes to her and sort of like licks her and then fucks off. And I'm like, what? How is that even possible in the movie? Unless she was sort of like, you know, you get these ones where religion plays a part, doesn't it? Like, you know, a priest or something like that, or she's got like a cross on, or she's got like his kryptonite. But no, he does this weird, like, it's almost like a fucking pervy thing, doesn't he? And sort of sniffs her, licks her, and then disappears. And you're like, well, that's fucking bizarre, because there's nobody else in the movie he has saved. He has killed every person he's come in contact with, hasn't he? So I couldn't work that out. That was a strange one.
The fact that she had the sight or something, didn't she? So, you know, she's been kind of helping him, but, you know, she's been having these visions, you know, and but ultimately not being very helpful. And again, I just feel like when Dari is asking her, you know, do your visions ever, are they ever wrong? You know, and she doesn't really answer. You know, she's just burdened with this knowledge of, you know, she's got these, it's like a dream. That's how I was imagining it. You know, she just sees these flashes of things and she's burdened with this knowledge. So she's trying to alter something in the future. But actually she knows they always come true, the visions. And the rest of the town just thinks she's fucking stark raving mad. But, you know, she's got no problem with that. You know, she's saying, oh, just ignore me, I'm crazy and whatever. But yeah, I it was one of those moments where I'm thinking, ah, okay, so I haven't seen any of the sequels, but I am kind of intrigued to watch them now, because yeah. I wonder, is that going to come back? Is that some kind of the lore? Like, again, he's obviously some kind of demonic character, but she's obviously magical in some way. You know, so I thought it was interesting that bit. But Chris, before I forget, I mean, it didn't mention about when he decapitates the cop, and you said about it gets a bit Freddy Krueger. I think you're absolutely right. That's what I was thinking as well. When he picks up the head,
yeah,
and he almost starts fucking making out with it.
Out of it, I know. It's just like, what the fuck is going on here?
When he's biting the tongue off as well, and it's like, oh, fuck me, you know, this is really weird and horrible. Again, I feel like it is, I mean, not showing my hand too much, but it is short of being a great horror movie, I think. But yeah, there are elements. I feel like all the ingredients were there. It just slightly misses the mark with some of the writing and the ridiculousness, you know, the way things join together, the decisions that are made. But I don't know, we're not really horror movie connoisseurs, though, are we? Is it not the case where every fucker, you know, I mean, they call it out in this, don't they? When he's going down the shaft, like... Sounds wrong.
Watched a few of them, Dave.
when he's going down?
Oh, no, I'm going to say no. I delete that history very quickly, Dave. Yeah, I'm not never confused. Right, go on.
She says, like, this is what people do in horror movies, you know, and so she calls it out even. And that's, I felt like I was stealing a bit from Scream, you know. And, but even in Scream, they sort of call out the horror movie rules and everything, but they still fucking follow them. So I don't know. I think the making the silly choices does seem a bit obvious in this. But maybe if we watched a few more horror movies, we'd find that, well, pretty much everyone makes terrible choices in horror movies, or else there wouldn't be a horror movie.
No, and that's true. That's true, to be fair. In Scream, it's a little bit more subtle, but there is bits. But then you always get that sort of like, I've had enough of being chased. I'm fighting back. And that's what Trisha's done. But there's no jeopardy to it, is it? She just runs him over about four or five times. She pretends.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've had the plot laying device about the fucking gear stick, and that's what ultimately runs him over, doesn't it? But he's still not dead, you know. So yeah, he almost goes T-1000, doesn't he, when he comes back to life. But you're right, when they're in the police station, it reminds me of Terminator, the original one, because he's in the police station, kills a few coppers, doesn't he, like, say he licks her. And then when you've got the thing where he has to take one of them again, that doesn't make any sense, but you can spare one of them. Which she does say that, the woman, doesn't she, when she comes into the police, that, you know, he can do that. But then ultimately he takes Dari, you know, pushes her, takes Dari. I do like the end bit where obviously, you know, Trish gets picked up by her parents and she fucks off. But then you go to this fucking warehouse factory, and then you've got Dari's fucking front of his face skin there, like the top of his torso, with his eyes taken out. And obviously the creepers had no eyes. And we've had these like green, just like there's nothing. And then he's got his eyes in, hasn't he? And he blinks. Yeah. So that does set it up. One of the Jeepers Creepers I've seen is where he is like a scarecrow or something. And I can't remember which one it is. So, and these people are being bellends, and he's sort of like thinking, well, you deserve to be killed in these movies. You always know when someone's going to get killed when they're being pricked. But yeah, so I thought that was in this one properly, but obviously it's only the bit where she shoots him. But yes, the music is spot on. That Jeepers, Creepers, you know, and all that. That's fucking very, very well put together. But I just think ultimately the execution just fell off for me completely when it went full on like Sarah Connor on a mission. Then it's just stupid.
Now, the thing is, I mean, bearing in mind it's 2001, I thought where they did well to subvert the normal horror movie trope, which is where, you know, the woman gets killed.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. That was good.
So I think it was kind of, you know, it was hinting when she's like, you know, it's almost like, I know what you did last summer. Take me.
Yeah.
What do you want from me? She's really fucking super angry. She's obviously the older sister, so she feels protective. And so he just fucks off. And then, again, I'm sort of thinking, well, how's he going to get out of this one? The first time I was watching it, and you see... he's fucking there. His skin is hung up, you know, and the CGI and stuff is like, you know, it's just of its time, isn't it?
It's not bad.
And he's got the eyes cut out, and it is actually him. So it's Justin Long who's dressed up in the creeper makeup.
Yes.
So it's normally Jonathan Breck, but to make sure you've got the eyes and stuff. And so, yeah, I thought it was a really haunting way. You know, there are certain movies, like I'd say Blair Witch is another one where it's not very good, in my opinion, but the very last scene kind of sticks with you. And the way the camera kind of moves through this horrible, fucking dingy, abandoned warehouse kind of thing. You've got that music playing in the background. And then I just think it's brilliant the way it finishes off there.
Yeah, it is. It is, honestly. It ends very well for that. And it sets up a sequel. Are they doing it with Trish, where she's their version of Sidney Prescott? You know, like you were saying about the female protagonist being killed. You know, Sidney is the franchiser scream, isn't she? You know, in the newest one, she's not in it. But no, I think that bit is very haunting and perfect. It's just in the middle. So anyway, Dave, let's get into the scores.
Let's go.
So, Dave, I absolutely laid into it because I think this could have been one of the greatest horror movies ever. And as a not a big horror movie fan, as you elegantly put it, you big pussy, it's not really scary. It's more like an action movie, really. It's almost like it's like a slasher movie. And it's like a, you know, they're trying to, they're so stupid, the Scooby-Doo bullshit gets on my nerves. But really, the actual creeper, he isn't like a Freddy Krueger. He's not like even Ghostface, you know, like where you're like, oh, where's he going to pop up from next? I think it plays out pretty obvious. However, there's some great bits in it. There is still some good bits in it, and I got really, really fucking frustrated. So I think, as we've talked about it, I'm going to score it a little bit higher, Dave. I was going to throw it to the bottom, but I'm not. I'm going to put it in Elm Street, and the creeper needs to watch some Nightmare on Elm Street stuff to understand how a bad guy in a horror movie should play out. So no, Elm Street, Dave. But at the top end of Elm Street, I didn't hate the movie. I know I was watching The Clock, but I just was so, as my Chris Phelps rants, but the proper frustration of what could have been more than anything was what really got me. So, no, I think it's a great pick, and I'm glad you picked it. But, yeah, this just could have been so much better than what I think it delivered in the end.
Yeah, you say about looking back at Freddy Krueger and how to be a baddie, but don't forget, we were so much younger when we watched those Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
That's true.
Back and you watch it now, and Freddy's a bit...
camp.
A bit more comedy. Yeah. He's a bit silly. And I look back at it now, I'm like, what the fuck was I scared about? But I still maintain, for me, I mean, I discuss, like, you know, you're chatting with friends and stuff, and you talk about the movies and things that happen, and then you start talking about, oh, what, you know, what would you do? You know, you get into these silly little conversations. There were no fucking PlayStations back then, Chris. There was no Netflix. So you rode out on your bike, and then you just chatted shit. So, you know, it's more for me about the fact, you know, you say like an earworm, like a song that gets in your head, but this is like almost like a thought type worm, you know, and you're sort of thinking about, well, what the fuck would you do? I mean, if you could just never go asleep, it's that torturous idea more so than what was actually on the screen. Even though, again, I think because you were watching it, it looked pretty good, you know, the effects and stuff. And it's hard to look back now, and your expectations are so much higher. So, yeah, it's a bit of an unfair comparison, I think, to say with Freddy. But, Chris, I still really enjoyed this. It didn't shit me up nearly as much. And when I look back now, I think, you know, well, you fucking pussy. I think the context of being in the cinema, the sound was fucking blasting, you know, from that fucking truck right off the bat, and then just the idea. And I think for me, even though it's created this creeper character, and it's obviously spawned sequels, I think for me, I'd have been okay if it was more like a Michael Myers, where it's almost, you know, it's unknown. Is he just a super strong bloke or what? You know, yeah. I didn't need the whole demonic thing. So for me, I almost switch off at that point when you see the creeper and he's not just got the hat on and the big old Mac and everything. It just gets silly then. But still really enjoyed it. I still think there are some amazing moments. I still think the acting, you know, Gina Phillips and Justin Long, the way they portray fear, I think I think that helps, like, ramp up the anxiety. Justin Long in particular, I think, you know, when he is shitting it, you know, you're shitting it with him. And so I just think that is one of the greater aspects of the movie. And I think it looks great. I think the way it's shot and everything. And that last scene, I can see it in my mind's eye now as the camera sort of moves on through the abandoned warehouse. So there are lots and lots of bits that I think are really, really good in this movie. I'm going to put it in a hill valley. It's quite a high hill valley. I think it could have been so much better. There's some of the nonsense with the writing, I think, you know, just has it missing the mark for me. But yeah, I'd watch this again, and it's definitely had me interested to watch the sequels as well. So at some point, you know, I'll be watching those, you know, in the middle of all that reality TV shit you've got me watching.
How dare you? So, Dave, next week's pick, and thank you for this one, next week's pick is one of our patrons, our good mate Dylan, and he's picked a movie I've never seen, Dave. So we're going back to 2001 again. And I've seen loads of clips of this movie, but never actually watched it at all. So I'm really looking forward to this. So this one's Denzel Washington and Ethan Hawke, and it's 2001's Training Day. So let's get into the trailer, Dave.
Let's go.
In the next 24 hours, you will learn about the streets.
This is a proper VHS trailer.
Yeah,
about the
yeah.
choices that will force a dedicated cop over the edge, all in the name of good. In the next 24 hours, the only thing more dangerous than the line being crossed.
Today's a training day, Officer Hoyt. It's your chance to give you a little taste of reality. You think you can handle it?
Is the cop who has crossed it.
I will do anything you want me to do.
Will you? We'll see. If I was a dealer, you'd be dead by now. They build jails because of me. Judges have handed out over 15,000 man years of incarceration time based on my investigation. You got today and
it's
today only
dental.
To show me who
yeah.
and what you're made of.
He's one of my favorites. Love him.
He's no Sid. Sidney Poitier, though.
What I'm
though.
Talking about, the first day on the job, you hit a $3 million seizure.
Police officer, get away from
the car! No, we're not racking up arrests today.
You let him go.
What more you want?
I want justice, right?
Is that
I
not mean, justice?
That's street justice.
What's wrong with street justice?
Oh, what, just let the animals wipe themselves out.
God willing.
You can't be like this.
Open your eyes, can't you see?
Police, we got a search warrant.
You ain't no police!
I didn't sign up for this.
You think I'm crazy, right?
We communicate and talk to me. Say it. Say it.
I think you're a rogue cop. Learned a lot of things on these streets, boy. Good things and bad things, too.
There's some profoundly evil people walking
Snoop?
The streets freely right now.
I'm the police!
King Kong ain't got nothing on me.
You never know, that's the point. Turn out to be a nice day, huh? It'll get darker. Guarantee you that.
I'm looking forward to this, Dave.
Yeah, and you know what? I've only watched it once. I watched it when it came out on video at the time. And yeah, it was good. There is one particular scene where things get a bit hairy that it lived on with me for a little while after that. But I don't know. This was, for me, a bit more gritty. That's the feeling that I have. You know, so... Like yourself, you know, loved the Lethal Weapons, the Beverly Hills Cops movies and stuff like that, buddy cop movies. So I guess I was almost expecting something like from this, where it was a much darker, grittier movie from what I remember. So it didn't really, I appreciated it without loving it like the Lethal Weapons say. But I'm really intrigued. I'm chomping at the bit, actually, to go back and watch it now. With, you know, a few more years on the clock and, you know, a bit more hindsight.
Yeah, that'll be good. Like I said, I'm watching it for the first time, so it's something completely new for me and one that I just need to tick off the box because I do think it's got an iconic VHS cover. Denzel there with the do-rag and he's got, like, the gun.
It's like your fucking Vincent Vega.
How dare you? Right, anyway.
Denzel wears it better.
Denzel definitely wears it better than me, Dave. Big thank you to everyone, as always, for supporting the podcast. Thank you so much, guys. Great pick, mate. And I'm looking forward to this one, Dylan, that you picked. If you want to email us, the vhsstrikesback@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, at vhsstrikesback. As always, get over to patreon.com/thevhsstrikesback. So the roll call of honor for today, and a big thank you to Lee, Helen, Dylan, Stephen, Trent, Dan, Justin, Susan, Timothy, Matt, Heath, Ken, Lucky Lulu Green, Herb, Jax, Math, Blake, John Hammond, and Mr. Tony Farina. So thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate all your support and all your help. And as always, Dave, I got one up my sleeve. I did say, you know, in a couple of weeks that I was going to go down the route, but I think I've just thought of a different type of movie for mine in a couple of weeks. So let's see.
Oh, nice,
and
nice.
Has it been your pick, Dave? What are you going to take us out with today?
Well, I mean, I'll have to go with one of the quotes that I kind of hinted at earlier, and given the theme, certainly given your perception of things that... choices that could have been different, Chris. And it's a quote from Trish, and she says... You know the part in scary movies when somebody does something really stupid and everyone hates them for it? This is it. I'll speak to you next time.
Bye.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now?
What are we going to do? Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back because it'll be dark soon and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's odd.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Ah! Ah! Get to the chopper!
One ring to go.
All right. Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad, ain't so bad. Come on, ain't so bad.
Ain't enough. Come on,
you must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid.
Yeah, maybe
you
stupid. Crazy. I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 months.
I must break you.